Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reiser. Today I'm joined as usual by Hashibai.
Hello.
And also Hashibai, the special guest, because you're going to be doing the bulk of the presenting today on what topic?
ARM template.
ARM, like ARM or?
Azure Resource Manager.
Oh, okay, cool.
I will present some tips and tricks using ARM template.
Fantastic. Yeah. Before we start doing that, though, we're going to go over a little bit of news. So last week we hosted an event called AzureCon. As you might imagine, that's kind of short for Azure Conference. And basically, it was a day-long live and recorded set of videos going over a bunch of new Azure technologies and announcements, as well as just kind of covering a bunch of how-tos to use different pieces of technology, things like that. We're going to cover just at a high level some of the bits of news that came out of that. We'll make sure to link underneath this video to the actual videos from AzureCon so you can go watch it all in depth if you want. Mm-hmm. As you can see here, we're on Scott's blog, and the first thing is actually go watch the videos. So first thing, we announced general availability of three new Azure regions in India, so Mumbai, Chennai, as well as Pune. So, you know, a lot more capability in India now. Yeah. We announced, and I'm really excited about this one, not that I personally will probably use it anytime soon, but N-series virtual machines with GPU support. Yeah. GPU support's been getting asked for quite a while, so having it there is really awesome. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, there are many customers waiting for this.
Yes, exactly right. So it's lighting up a lot of scenarios. Yeah. So the next thing is the Azure Security Center, and this is kind of a first of its kind center for wrapping around, you know, how to make sure everything you're putting in the cloud is secure, because obviously we do everything we can to secure Azure itself, but there's still stuff that you can do when you deploy your own applications that might be insecure. So this is kind of another step forward in helping make sure that what you put into the cloud is as secure as possible. Then the next item up is the Azure IoT suite is now available for purchase. And this is a kind of a suite of Internet of Things capabilities that kind of enables you to go from you know, nothing to having really powerful information or Internet of Things abilities. I know right now it's built with remote monitoring, but we're adding predictive maintenance and asset management solutions down the road. But really cool stuff you can do here with IoT. Mm-hmm. In that vein, we also announced Azure IoT Hub, and actually last week we released a video that we did focusing on Azure IoT Hub, so I won't talk too much about that here, but we'll make sure to link to that video as well. Then I think the last thing is actually the Azure Container Service, and I'm going to let Hashi talk about that because he knows a little bit more about the container stuff than I do.
Yeah, this is actually a very exciting service. If you think about way as an industry, when we chase for agility and chase for higher compute density, this is basically what the future of the cloud data center will look like. Right? Essentially, your application is totally separate from the infrastructure. Basically, you have a big pool of CPUs, memories, and disks. Then your application can be deployed anywhere on this pool. This is a pre-announcement. I think we are still shaping up how this service will look like. But of course, we'd like to hear your feedbacks and hear your opinion how this service should look like. Our strategy is basically to adopt Mesos as our baseline, so which means we will support all the frameworks Mesos support, like Marathon, Kronos, or Swarm. And you can take your application and deploy directly to a Mesos cluster on Azure. And what's most interesting is that our cloud service cluster will be based on our skill set. I think we are going to do an episode on that pretty soon.
Yes, we are.
So the skill set allows you to actually scale out your physical or virtual cluster dynamically based on your requirement. So if your cluster is running out of capacity, you can actually scale out your cluster just easily.
So is the idea here being that I don't need to worry about virtual machines anymore, I just need to deploy my containers? Or do I still say, you know, create a container service with this set of VMs, and then from there, I don't worry about the VMs, I just deploy containers?
So for you, you still create a cluster, right?
Right.
But you don't view the cluster as a group of virtual machines anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you view the cluster as a big resource pool of memory and CPUs.
Okay, great.
Then it doesn't matter which virtual machine your application ended up with, but it's a big pool. You can put it anywhere.
Whatever you want. Okay, yeah. Great. So that's going to complete the news for today. Well, like I said, we'll include links to this. Now, normally we do a very high-tech switchover where we cut the video and we unplug one laptop and plug in something else. Today we're actually going to do something a little bit more low-tech.
All right.
And I think we're ready to go.
That works pretty well.
I think so.
So today's main topic would be on the, if I reset, how do I reset this? All right, that was good. That's the low-tech switch. Perfect. So this topic is about ARM tips and tricks. So as you may know, ARM template is our way to capture the instruction as a code so that you can capture your entire instruction topology and you can deploy it consistently across the different environments like dev, test, production. So
kind of the idea is that instead of me having to go in manually and say, you know, create a virtual machine for my test environment mm-hmm. and then set up the VNet and then maybe create a SQL database or a SQL server and SQL database and then have to do all that again for beta and production and maybe potentially do something wrong, mm-hmm. you know, from the second time to the third time, something like that.
Yep.
We do it once, we create a template from that, and then we can use that template to redo it, and we know it's going to be the exact same architecture every time.
Yeah, the consistency is the key word here. So you can take this template. Basically, it's a text file, right? You can do version control. You can compare the differences. You can see what are the changes going into this template. And you can take the same template and stamp it exactly across different regions, different data centers, different environments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So today, we'll talk about some basics. So basically, if you haven't used ARM before, I will go through a really quick tutorial to show you how to use the template. Then we'll go into some of the tips and tricks and some functions that you may not aware of. So hopefully, this could be a helpful episode.
Great.
So we'll cover the basics at the beginning. Then we'll talk a number of topics like dependencies, functions, loops, etc. But with that, I think I already covered this. The ARM template is just a JSON document. At the top level, it has four elements. One is the resources. So everything you provision on Azure is a resource. Like a virtual machine is a resource. Network adapter is a resource. Load balancer is a resource. Everything is described as a resource. And you can have parameters of your template. This is for you to alter the template that can be used in different purposes. For instance, if I have a template with a parameter of a location, which means you can take this template and deploy to different data centers. All you need to do is just to change that parameter, say US East, US West, then you can deploy into different environments. And just as on our languages, we have variables. Don't repeat yourself, right? If you have a string literal or variable you want to reuse in your template, you define variable, then you can just reference that variable throughout your template. And last but not least, we have outputs where you can generate some outputs about the provisioning state of your template or the resource state from your template so that you can further take those outputs into your downstream automation scripts. So those are the other basics. There are some other constructs like tags, where you can tag the resources, mm-hmm. but we'll just cover a few of them today. So with that, before I show you the help functions, I will jump to the first demo. This is my terminal. I'm going to show you how to provision a new availability set using ARM template. Actually, before we do the terminal, let's go to Visual Studio Code to show you how the template looks like. So this is one of the simplest template you can probably write, okay? So you can see this is a template. It has two top elements we talked about. It has parameters and resources. So resources is just an array of resource, and each resource is presented by a resource provider and the resource type. So here, this resource is provided by the Microsoft.computer resource provider, and the type is availability set.
Okay.
And you can define the location and whatever properties this resource may need. And if we go up to the parameters, you can see you can define any number of parameters. You can define a type like string, int, boolean, or you can also define what are the allowed values for these parameters. And this metadata will actually help us to drive the portal UI or some other tool you're using. You'll see this in a moment. So that's the simple JSON document. I'm going to deploy this now.
And it's probably worth mentioning that you know you're doing your demo today on OS X, but you could do all the same stuff on Windows or on Linux.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, so basically our ARM Resource Manager provides an API that everybody can call, including your own applications, including our tools like Azure CLI or PowerShell. So mm-hmm. it's the same API everybody use.
Great.
And here I'm using Azure CLI, but you can do the same thing using PowerShell.
Great.
So first I'm going to log in as myself. Type in my user name and the password. And something is happening now because my account has enabled two-factor authentication.
Which is a good thing.
Yes. Make it more secure. So I need to go to this link to complete my two-factor authentication steps. So I need to go back to copy this code, paste it in, continue. Then because I've logged into the portal before, so I don't get the login prompt again. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't logged in to the portal, you'll be asked to log in using a password or smart card or whatever your tenant set up for you to log in. So when I come back, you can see I'm logged in. And because I have many subscriptions, I will select one I want to use. Azure account set TE account. So that's a subscription.
I don't think that account exists, Hashi.
Yeah, let me see.
I think you missed maybe your last name.
Did I?
I think so.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. So now I picked my subscription. The other thing you need to know is that because currently we have two set of APIs, we have Service Manager and the Resource Manager. So when you use either PowerShell or Azure CLI, you need to switch to the correct mode. Mm-hmm. In our case, we will need to use the Resource Manager mode. So what you do is Azure config set ARM. You switch to the Azure mode. Yeah, sorry. Mode ARM. I can't seem to type right now. Okay. Now I'm in the ARM mode. I'm finally ready to deploy my template. I'm ready under the folder. Mm-hmm. So actually, in case you wonder where did I get this template, right? I got this from our GitHub repository called Azure Quick Start Templates.
Okay.
It has hundreds of templates that you can use and copy from. What I often see is that people use these templates as a starting point.
Sure.
Let's say if you want to provision three virtual machine cluster, probably you can find a similar template here, just copy locally, then just modify it.
Okay.
So I'm going back to my terminal. I'm going to use Azure group create. I'm creating a new resource group. Mm-hmm. Give it a name. Let's say ARM basic. Then I will give it a template file, Azure deploy JSON, and give the parameter file. Actually, I will go back to the parameter files in a moment.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what is actually in that parameters file.
Yeah. And so I will give a location. I am ready to go. So this resource group is being provisioned as it's going. Actually, it's already done. Let's talk about this parameter file. So if I go back to Visual Studio Code, you can see corresponds to the template file. Mm-hmm. Just you open the parameters file. Remember, I define the parameters in my template.
Right.
The way you supply the values to those parameters is to use a parameter file.
Okay.
Right. There are other ways to supply the parameters as well. Actually, you can use a JSON object directly in the command line if you only have a few parameters.
Sure.
Actually, I think this will fail. This succeeded. That's good. We are ready to go to the portal to see how the resource group looks like.
Now, I noticed when you ran the command on the command line, you actually included a dash L and then West US. What exactly is that?
So basically, that's the location for the resource group. The resource group needs a location.
Okay, so different. So basically, you create a resource group, but then within that, because the actual ARM template was creating an availability set, there was two different specifications of where these resources are going to be.
Yeah. Location is one of the parameters we require to create the resource group because it's just a resource, it needs a location.
Gotcha.
But in the template, you can actually provision resources in different locations.
Okay, right? That makes sense.
We actually have template, which I will show you in a moment. We have a template that deploy across multiple regions.
Exciting.
Yeah. So now let's go back to the portal to see that resource template. if I go to my resource groups, I should have this ARM basic. You can see the deployment has succeeded. And mm-hmm. in the resource group, I only have one availability set as I specified. So that's the simplest case how you do, a deployment.
It's like magic.
Yes. Now let me do some modifications. So let's say if I change this resource template, I don't want to be named availability set 1 anymore. I want to make it to 2. Save this. And I will just go back. I will repeat the same command.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine what will happen. So initially, I have an availability set called 1. Now I have a one called 2. What will my resource group look like on the portal? So this is what it looks like. If I do this, you can see now I have two resources.
Right.
I have 1 and 2. The reason this happens is that by default, we use a model mode called incremental mode.
Mm-hmm.
So as you deploy resources, we will provision new resources as we see in the template.
Just get rid of all the stuff that's currently.
Yeah, but we don't get rid of the old ones. But if you have the same name, we will update the old ones. But we are not removing the one that doesn't exist in the new template. So sometimes this technique can be used to modify your cluster settings. For instance, in case of our skill set, you can actually deploy a small template with the new capacity parameter to the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can just change the cluster property.
Okay.
But if you do want a complete deployment, there is a different mode called complete mode, which will just trash all the thing you have and start over with new ones. So that's two different modes you may want to know. But coming back to the deployment status, if I click on the last deployment, you can see, although I deployed twice, I only see one deployment history. This is because I'm using this Azure group create command, which by default only use Azure deploy deployment name. So each time I'm reusing the same deployment name.
Mm-hmm.
But usually what you want to do is as you're doing revisioning on your template and clusters, you want to explicitly manage your deployment so you can have this tracing history. And this is how you do it. So instead of create, I have to look at my cheat sheet because for me, I usually just deploy over. So group, I will manage the deployment. And create a new deployment, and this is the.
I think you missed an A in that create there.
All right, you have to keep an eye out for this. I can't type when I'm on the camera. New deployment, and I will give a resource group name. That's the ARM basic. And same thing, I will give a template file and a parameter file. Okay. So in this way, I'm explicitly creating a new deployment called new deployment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to press enter to run that. So this is a really good way for you to trace what kind of provisions has been done on the cluster so that you can help you to diagnose issues if there's any.
So now, would you want to change this new deployment field every time so it's a different value?
Yeah. Usually that's what you want to do. Let's go back to this. If I refresh this,
maybe if you close that blade there.
Yeah, then let me refresh.
There we go.
So you can see I have two deployments, and mm-hmm. for each deployment, you can actually drill into the log files
mm-hmm.
to see what are the errors in there. In my case, it's okay, but in case there's an error, you can see in the log files.
Okay, great.
Actually, that's one of the primary way how you debug a template. Once you deploy, we have very detailed logs here. You can dig it out.
Great.
So that covers the basics, and I think I'm already using too much time. I will speed up.
Okay, Hashi.
So I'm going to talk about helper functions. So helper functions are functions we provide to help you to accomplish common tasks. If we go back to the template, you can see in here, I'm using a function called parameters. So this is a very simple function, allow you to get a reference to a parameter. Basically, you're reading the value of these parameters. But we provide many other functions. We have those arithmetical calculations at divide mode. We have array function, which can get the length of an array. We have address-related function, which allow you to read some of the information from your subscription. For instance, the list keys can list your storage key from your address subscription. So in case that you need that key to represent in your template to do some provisioning, maybe that's helpful. And we also support the basic conversion between integer and string. And for string, we have quite a few operation because that's what you commonly do, like a concat, padlet, replace, mm-hmm. all those things. And there are many more about template construct. I think we will cover most of them in this episode. So I will leave it for later. And here are just some examples of the helper functions. This is the one you just saw. We can use parameters function to reference to a parameter. We can use variable function to reference to a variable. And this is an example of a string concat. Mm-hmm. You can concat functions, literals into a bigger string. And this is another string manipulation example. This is how you replace a character in a string.
Okay.
So it's really straightforward. You can use all those functions. I think I will skip the demo for this one. Basically, remember I talked about the top output element. There are some use cases, interesting use cases that can help you to do automation script.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you can output your cluster or deployment state so that you can use that in your own script. In this case, I have two examples. The first one, I'm actually outputting the host name of my website. So this one is dynamically assigned to the website as your provision.
Mm-hmm.
So in your automation script, you may want to do something with it. So in this way, you can use the output to output this value so that your downstream automation script can pick it up and continue work on this host. And the other example is the list key function. In this case, I provision the storage account, right? This function will list the storage account access keys so that after you have this storage account, you can use your automation script to continue to use this account because you have the name and the key now to do further automations. And the next one is a different topic. It's about dependencies. Basically, as we take in a template, we figure out a dependency tree. So some resource will be dependent on some others. For instance, if you have a network adapter, probably you want to attach to a virtual machine. So the way you define the dependency is to use the depends on attribute. In here, you can reference to a different resource in the same template or even in a different resource group so that the ARM manager, the ARM will know the order of provisioning those resources. So there are some common, I think I will skip resource ID for now. There are some common dependency sample scenarios. First, let's say you are provisioning a Windows network. Probably you want to provision the domain controller first, then you provision the member service. Mm-hmm. So the member service can join the domain controller. So in this case, the member service will have a dependency to the domain controller so that the ARM will provision the domain controller first.
Sure.
And you can also, because custom script extension is also just another resource. So a custom script extension allows you to run a script on your virtual machine. What you can do if you have multiple scripts you want to execute sequentially, you can define the dependency relationship among them. So the script one is executed, then you execute the other one, then the third one.
Okay.
So you can use the dependency to control the order of execution. And the other scenario we saw is that in some other clusters, they have this concept of master nodes and slave nodes.
Yep.
And so sometimes you want the masters to be provisioned first, sometimes you want the slaves to be provisioned first, depending on different cluster. So by using dependency, you can achieve those scenarios.
Okay.
And the other one is the VNet VNet connection, of course. If you want to create a VNet VNet connection, you need to make sure both VNet and gateways are created first before you join them together. So those are just dependency samples that we see people use. And the next topic, I think I'm going faster and faster, about loops. So In our template, remember every resource is a JSON segment to define a different resource, like a virtual machine or network adapter. But in a lot of cases, especially when you create a cluster of machines, you want to take that resource and loop it several times. So we have this new, relatively new construct called loops. So basically, here I'm showing you a simplified resource, which is a network interface card. You can see I have my type, name, properties. This is just a regular resource, nothing strange about it. To loop through this resource, what you need to do is to add a copy attribute to this resource. Basically, in this copy, you can give this copy a name. That's just a name for this copy loop. That's nothing serious. And you can give it a count. So when ARM sees this template, it will take this resource and repeat the number of times you specify. So this is really useful if you want to loop through to create a large number of virtual machines or whatever resources you want to create.
Okay.
And the other concept we see people use is sub-deployments. So remember, we have this one JSON document can capture all your infrastructure. We also support this concept called sub-deployments. You can actually call out to a sub-template to do deployment, then return to the master to continue deployment. So the diagram I'm showing is one of the examples we did with one of the partners, which is Adobe. So they are trying to get their AEM, the Adobe Experience Manager system, on Azure. And for this template, we actually use the sub-deployment. You can see for the US data center and the Europe data center, there are a lot of similarities, but there are some minor differences about additional nodes. And we need to create this VNet connection. So basically, what we did is that this and this will be two sub-deployment. And we have a dependency in the master deployment to wait for these two to finish, then we create this VNet connection. Actually, this template is public, so we will share this link to the audience. So you can take a look. This is a good example of doing a multi-region deployment using the sub-deployments in one template.
Now, what's to stop you from just putting, you know, one big deployment file together that also deploys all this stuff into the other data center? Like, is there a reason why you shouldn't, why you couldn't, or is it just like it's a lot clearer if you have separate deployment files?
There's an easy answer and a hard answer to this, but I think for now I'll just give something in the middle.
Okay.
So basically the sub-deployment is to encourage, sorry, I cut my phone on because I thought I had to do the phone authentication. So basically the sub-deployment is to encourage code reuse. So if you have a common topology that you want to reuse in different places. In this case, their data center topology is actually very similar. So you can capture that into a separate template. Then as you need it, you can just stamp it over.
So in this scenario, there might actually be more than two files. There might be one file that is the part that's common between the two.
Yeah.
One file which is just the, you know, the like the European data center, and then another file that kind of handles calling out to those different.
So we have the master template, which will call out to this template and this template.
Right.
Then we do additional configuration.
Great.
So, and if I go back, I don't want this to be dragging too long. And the other thing you can do with the template is branches and conditions. Actually, see. We don't have a native support for this because usually when you define a topology, it should be pretty clearly described as fixed. But in the case, in some cases, you do want branches and conditions. One example I can give you is that in our Mesos cluster provisioning template, we want users to have this choice of using either a Linux jump box or Windows jump box. So that's a condition user can choose. So to use that, what you need to do is basically to define a parameter, let's say called branch, and this parameter can accept a number of values. These will be your options. And in your template, this is basically to use the sub-deployment. In your template link, where you can specify where your sub-deployment template is, you can use a different URL by using the concat function. Basically, if the user is saying, I'm using branch 2, I'm going to use HTTP some URL slash branch2.json or branch1.json or branch3.json. So you can see there's not the native branching in the template itself, but you can use the sub template to achieve similar result.
I see.
And if you want to have a conditional deployment, you can just point, let's say if there's a true condition pointing to a template, you can have a false condition just point to an empty template, which doesn't have any resource. So that gives you the effect of this conditional deployment. And diagnostics, we saw the management portal. Actually, I found that was the most useful tool. You just go to the portal, you click on the deployment, you click on the individual resources, you can see all the logs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to use command line, you can use Azure group log to show, I missed the P there, you can show the log file. But to me, the UI is much nicer to use.
Okay.
And so do we have time for random tips?
I think we can do some random tips.
Okay. So these are random tips, it seems, but these are actually what I collected in the past 3 or 4 months to see what users are using and how customers are using them. So it might be useful. So like I mentioned, probably you want to start with the Azure Quick Start templates. It provides like hundreds of pre-built templates. You can just copy from there.
Mm-hmm.
And for JSON editing, you can use Visual Studio. Visual Studio, we have a JSON editor that gives you a really nice graphic presentation of the results tree. I don't have Visual Studio here, but you can definitely check it out.
And so if I recall correctly, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. Visual Studio also has some IntelliSense around that, that editing for like specific to Azure Resource Manager stuff, whereas if you were just using, like, for example, Visual Studio Code mm-hmm. also has, you know, formatting of JSON, but it doesn't right now have that same IntelliSense. Is that right?
Yeah, Visual Studio has an IntelliSense. It understands the JSON schema we're using.
Right, but that's specific to the ARM stuff. That's not, you know, Visual Studio Code does have IntelliSense, just not for ARM right now.
Yeah. And then to improve the code reuse, we encourage to use the sub-templates. And especially if you have a really complex deployment, probably you want to segment them into smaller deployments so you can debug individually, then you combine them into a bigger deployment. And develop iterations. ARM template language is kind of verbose, so it's easy to make mistakes. So I would say, as you are designing a topology with like 100 resources, probably you want to start like 5 or 10, just do iterations to make sure it works, mm-hmm. then you just increment. Remember, we support this increment deployment mode. You can just keep deploying the same resource template. It is supposed to be unimportant, right? If you have an existing resource, it shouldn't affect it.
So you could almost go like, you know, one resource at a time to make sure, you know, make sure that the first thing you need to deploys correctly, then the second, then the third, then the fourth.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And the other suggestion we can give is to don't over parameterize your templates. I mean, having parameters in the template is great, but some template has like tens and hundreds of parameters, making reusing the template really hard. So if you examine your scenario carefully, a lot of time you can actually change those parameters into variables because they don't actually change that often.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is to check resource dependencies because if you don't define the dependencies correctly, the resource might be provisioned out of order and causing some problem down the line of the deployment, especially if you do a large deployment, that problem may surface quite late in the stage, right? So you want to make sure your dependencies are defined correctly. And when you're doing large deployment, especially when you do loops, you need to watch out your subscription quota, not exceed the quota.
Now, how does somebody find what their quota is, or how do you know?
Well, we have APIs and PowerShell tools you can find out.
Okay. Yeah. And we also have a website, I think, that lists out the default quotas and then what to do if you want to go over them, right?
Yeah.
So we'll make sure we can point people to that stuff.
Yeah. This is kind of annoying because when you do a large deployment, and if you're running out of a quota, you will get this notification when you actually hit that limit.
Mm.
That means your template is already half deployed or something.
Sure. Right? So you want to have a good idea going into things, you know, how much you're going to deploy and then know what the quota is so you know that you're not going to meet it halfway through your
deployment. Imagine if you're deploying 100 virtual machines and they failed at the 80th virtual machines. It's
pretty unpleasant.
Yeah.
But of course, once you had the quota increased, if that was what you wanted to do, you just run that again, and it would just finish up the other machines.
Yeah,
right?
It will increment. Yes. Yeah. And the last thing seems trivial, but it got a lot of users many times. The storage account needs to be globally unique. And this actually applies to some other resource types. If you have a name that needs to be global unique, you should make them a parameter so that you can change that every time you do new deployments.
Makes sense.
And now the second page becomes more specific. There's another tool called Resource Explorer. Actually, I should have a link to that. It's a lightweight explorer, allow you to browse through your resources.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's public now. You can just Bing or Google it for Azure Resource Explorer. You can find a link. You log in using your regular subscription credential. Then you can browse your JSON resources. And the other random thing is that you should avoid use storage account name and the location as parameter names, because those are kind of reserved in the system. If you use those names as parameter names, you will confuse the system. Basically, the system will say, I can't find that thing, but it's actually reserved word. And there's another thing, if you need to concat single quote, you can't do that yet using the regular concat information, concat function, because in the concat you need to use single quotes to quote the strings.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is to define a variable which contains a single quote. Then you can just concat that variable. It's a little tedious for now, but
sure.
I'm pretty sure this will be changing in the future. But for now, that's a workaround. And the other thing is, when you use custom script extension, this is how the custom script extension works. So if you have a script with the same name, it won't be downloaded and executed. It won't be downloaded again.
Mm-hmm.
It will just use the old ones you have. So if you want to make sure you get new versions of custom script executed, we'd suggest you append a version number to the file name.
Okay.
So every time the engine will download the new version and execute that.
Okay.
And there's another thing about the naming of the resources. Sometimes the resources, although the fit the syntax requirement, but you may get an error saying this word may contain a common word or offensive word that you cannot use this name. And we have those commandlet. In this case, this is the PowerShell commandlet. You can actually test those names to see if that word will be accepted in your template. So you want to avoid using those names. And last, the resources. We have this page of the list of helper functions. And this is the quick start templates. You want to start with your projects. And that's the Adobe resource template I mentioned. And we also have a resource manager SDK. Basically, remember, we have this Azure Resource Manager API
mm-hmm.
that all the tools can call. You can write using the SDK to actually integrate that into your code.
Right.
So you can directly manipulate your infrastructure. And I didn't mention this, but our template is actually defined in the JSON schema. So if you want to see what's the actual JSON schema, you can go to this GitHub to actually see what are all the properties and types we defined over there.
Great.
So with that, I think that's all I'm going to cover.
Great. Well, we'll make sure we include all the links to all the information. It's been a whirlwind tour of kind of Azure Resource Manager.
Yeah, I went really fast.
That's good. Provide some good tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll include links to all that. We'll make sure we get the slideshow out there so people can take a look at that as well.
Cool.
Thanks for showing me more about Azure Resource Manager.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You knew, but I didn't know guest star Hashi could tell us so much.
All right.
And if you don't know, which I think by now you probably would, but if you have questions for Hashi, I think you can reach him at, what's your Twitter handle, Hashi?
Do I need to do this?
I don't think so. I don't remember. Maybe.
It's a Hashi by 2010.
2010.
Yeah, it's a silly name, but I got it.
Is it 5 years old now?
Yeah. Got the handle at 2010.
Hashi is 5 years old.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, you can check out Hashi and reach out to him there. As always, please follow us at Cloud Cover Show. Thank you for watching, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.